I invite you all this morning to consider the life of a man and ask yourselves, how would you fare if this man's life was your life? All of this man's clothing is torn. He is an outcast of society, not permitted to enter public places. People avoid him. No one can or will come near him. His skin is scaly. He's covered in wounds, scabs, and sores. His body stinks like decaying flesh. He can have no close contact with his family. In fact, even his family avoid him. To save face, a shouting distance is the closest his family come to him. His presence is never desired. He's in effect a walking plague. He's avoided by everyone and anyone who knows he is in proximity to them. This man lives alone, excluded. Even animals are treated better than he is. And to add insult to injury, it is law that this man has to sound his own alarm bell to warn people of his state and condition. He has to continually cover his upper lip and cry out, "Unclean! Unclean! I am unclean!" Now, how many of us here this morning would be able to bear living the life of this man? I don't think any of us would. Compared to the life of this man I have just described, don't we all have comfortable lives? Even as we struggle through this pandemic, our lives are a breeze compared to the life of this particular man. So I ask you to keep this man's life in mind, and we will come back to him shortly. This morning we are at the end of the chapter of the first chapter of the Gospel according to Mark. And we will be considering an incredible story. It's a historical event marking the encounter between one man, a leper, and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a remarkable episode in the ministry of Jesus. In the time of Jesus, to heal someone of leprosy was as astounding as raising someone from the dead. This is how great this miracle was. Earlier in this chapter, we are told about Jesus and his power, how he has healed many who were ill, sick with various diseases, and he even cast out many demons. And in all that display of godly power, Christ Jesus does the unthinkable here. He not only heals a leper, but he even touches the leper. And he himself is not defiled. Here we are given an astonishing account of the person and work of Christ Jesus. When a poor leper, in faith, knelt at the feet of Jesus and implored of him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." You see, in the time of Christ, to be a leper was the worst possible disease a person could contract. When the Bible speaks of leprosy, it is not limited to what we know as leprosy today. It's not specific to Hansen's disease. But what we have in mind here is a variety of infectious skin diseases, or even a disease of the nervous system, as we know what leprosy is today. This disease caused pain disfiguration, and people were shunned from society because of it. Lepers was considered by society as the walking dead. Medically, they had no hope, and religiously, they were defiled, unclean. They were an abomination to society. Many people struggle with the book of Leviticus. But to have any idea of what it meant for a Jew to have leprosy, you have to look at what it says in Leviticus. When reading Leviticus, it is worth placing yourself there. Metaphorically wearing the shoes of the Israelites who received it. To the Jew, the book of Leviticus was highly important. It contains the law of God. We may struggle today with the contents of Leviticus, but Jews would hold on to every word of it. And in the right context, so should we. Concerning leprosy, there are two full chapters in the book of Leviticus. There are 116 verses in Leviticus all about leprosy. How to detect and diagnose leprosy, how to examine the progress of leprosy, rituals for cleansing leprosy, and in all that, we get a taste of what leprosy meant in Jewish antiquity. In Jewish antiquity, to be diagnosed with leprosy wasn't just a medical issue. It was also an ecclesiastical issue. The leper was expelled from the Jewish community, not permitted to enter a synagogue, nor come anywhere near the temple in Jerusalem, the temple of worship. Now, for a Jew to wake up one morning and find a scab anywhere on his body was possibly the most terrifying and anxiety-inducing thing that a Jew would face in his lifetime. Leprosy wasn't just a matter of health, having a health problem and staying in bed and having friends and family look after you. To be diagnosed as a leper, the person would be shunned from society. They would be declared as unclean, defiled. The defilement was such that if you lightly brushed against a piece of material that may have touched the leper, you too would be declared as unclean and set apart from society. You would be excluded until the days of examinations were over and you were proved to be without leprosy. After which you would go through a cleansing ritual. You would have to pay an offering. And then, and only then, the priest could declare you to be clean with a certificate. But if you were declared to be unclean by the priest, in effect, you were declared to be dead, in inverted commas. This was a life sentence. The leper was ostracized from their family, their village, their town. They were not permitted to have contact with anyone except other lepers. You see, this was the life of the man who knelt at the feet of Jesus. A man detested by society, a man pronounced by the law of God to be unclean and defiled. This is the law in Leviticus. I'll read from you from chapter 13, verses 45 and 46 of Leviticus. It says, "Now, the leper on whom the sore is, his clothes shall be torn, and his head bare, and he shall cover his mustache and cry, 'Unclean, unclean.'" You see, the leper had to sound his own alarm bell warning people to stay away. It goes on to say, "He shall be unclean. All the days he has a sore, he shall be unclean. He is unclean, and he shall dwell alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp." Look how many times it uses the word unclean in just two verses. speaking about leprosy. You see, this is just two verses from Leviticus about the uncleanness of the leper. But such was the law. Leprosy was a symbol of sin. It was considered a sign of judgment from God. Leprosy was an abomination in the Jewish community. So much so that the priests would pride themselves in saying that they had never been within 150 meters of a leper. Look how good I am. Rabbis declared how righteous they were by boasting the fact that they would throw stones at lepers. Look how righteous I am. Of course, the law of God was being abused by the priests and the rabbis. The laws on leprosy had more than one function. Yes, it kept the Jewish community safe from a horrible infectious disease, but more so, the law functioned to give us knowledge of sin. God used leprosy to give us a very real sense of the sinfulness of sin that is in each and every one of us, and how holiness is a necessity in the presence of God. Earlier, I spoke to the children about how the Word of God is a mirror, and here is an example. Leprosy in the Bible is an image of humanity's unregenerate, sinful soul. The uncleanness of our hearts. The sinner is unclean, unworthy to stand before God. Now, let us come back to the man in our reading, to the leper. Our text here doesn't say much about the leper. It just says, now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him. The text doesn't say much about the leper, but if we read between the lines here, we consider the time and we apply the law of God, we can deduce that this man's leprosy was of the worst kind. He was one who had been declared unclean by a priest. He would have to go about crying, unclean, unclean. There really was no hope for this man. There was no hope at all for him. In fact, he was living hell on earth. And I believe he recognized and realized his situation. He was desperate. And with such a life, we can see the desperation of this leper. To get to Jesus, he had to break all protocol, the standards of society. He broke laws to be able to fall at the feet of Jesus. Now, just a side note, that this tells us something about the fame of Christ at this time. How could a leper have heard of Christ? This leper was excluded from society, barred from entering any village, town, or city. He was left alone in the wilderness to live in caves. Yet, this leper had heard of Christ. He had heard of Christ's power. And just hearing of what Jesus could do, this man found hope. He received such faith that he determined himself to find this man called Jesus who's been healing so many and casting out demons. He was determined to find Jesus and to kneel before him. And he was so desperate that even if Jesus would not heal him, his faith was such that he knew that Jesus could heal him. Getting to the feet of Jesus, crowds being scattered, people probably shouting in anger at him, perhaps They were even holding stones, aiming at him, at his poor leper. But nothing would stop him. He had to come to Jesus and implore of him. He had to come to him, begging earnestly and desperately, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." What drove this leper to Christ? I suggest two reasons. The first, it was the state of his condition. The leper knew the degree of his uncleanness. He knew his situation. He knew the infernal sentence on his head because of this disease. And so to hear of and be given the opportunity to be cleansed and set free from his hell on earth, he would not refuse nor reject the chance to be healed. So he was determined to bow to Jesus. The second reason this leper was driven to Christ was the truth of the person of Christ. His power was genuine. His power was of God himself. All the miracles Jesus had performed until that point was of such power and authority that no one could doubt Jesus was the Christ. I'm sure there had been many counterfeit miracle workers promising healing to the people. This leper may have even sought some of these out. But when he heard of Jesus, he had no doubt. This man Jesus truly has power. Notice how the leper didn't question whether Jesus could heal him. In fact, he stated it with certainty, saying, "Lord, you can heal me. You can make me clean." If you look at Matthew's and Luke's version of this account, the leper called Jesus Lord. In our text, it doesn't say Lord, but if you look in the other accounts, it says, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." This is the power and authority of Christ. It is unquestionable, indisputable. Jesus Christ is Lord, and the leper knew it. Now, dear Christians, on these two reasons I've just mentioned, fundamental reasons that brought you to Christ, did you not recognize the state of your fallen, sinful condition? Did you not see the sentence upon your head due to your sinfulness, that the wages of sin is death? Wasn't it in the darkness of your sin that you saw hope of forgiveness and cleansing in the light of Christ Jesus? Didn't Christ Jesus shine so brightly that you could no longer deny him? Didn't the truth of Christ Jesus so captivate you that all you could do was to look at Christ and in repentance and faith say, "Lord, forgive me"? Or did your heart even speak as the leper, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean"? Now that ought to be the story of every Christian, recognizing our sinfulness, but even more so recognizing Christ and who he is. At this point, we will focus on Christ Jesus. In verse 41 of our text, it reads, "Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him, and said to him, 'I am willing, be cleansed.'" Notice what moved Jesus to touch and cleanse the leper. It wasn't the leper's faith. Look at all the people Jesus had healed prior to the leper. Jesus didn't heal in response to faith. There is nothing in and of ourselves that causes Christ to do anything for us. There was no righteousness in us to cause God to desire us. There was no beauty or pleasantness in us to cause God to save us through His Son, Jesus Christ. Look at the leper. He certainly had no beauty. His disease disfigured him. People would be horrified by his sight. Children would be terrified by his presence. Yet Jesus was moved to touch him. Some may say that the leper's faith must have been appealing to Christ. But if that was the case, why didn't Jesus speak a good word regarding his faith? As in other accounts where Jesus commends people for their faith, not here. You see, what moved Jesus to touch and cleanse the leper came from within Christ himself. He was moved with compassion. There was nothing in and from the leper that caused Christ to heal him. But in the very heart of Christ, he knew the pain and the suffering of this man. Christ himself had already experienced this leper's wilderness life, if you consider verse 12 and 13 of this chapter. And so, sympathizing with the leper, Christ Jesus was moved with compassion. He was moved to do something for the leper. This is the heart of Christ. This is the heart of Christ for all of us. There is nothing beautiful in us, but Christ in himself is moved to change us, to save us. Some manuscripts even suggest that Jesus was indignant. There was a righteous anger in him at this point. It deeply affected Christ to see the fallenness and the brokenness of this world, to see the consequences of sin in the world he had so wonderfully created. Being moved with compassion, Christ went on to do the unthinkable, the most shocking of things that could have been done in the eyes of the Jewish multitudes. You can imagine the surprise and maybe confusion in the eyes of the onlookers as Jesus stretches out his hand and touches the leper. You can hear gasps and shouts of discontent at what Christ had done. How can he touch a leper? To touch the untouchable, the unclean leper would render the one who touched to be unclean and defiled. But here is the holiness and purity of Christ and the power of Christ. When Jesus touched the leper, Jesus could not be defiled. Instead, the leper was made clean. When Jesus touched the leper and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." We are told in verse 42 that immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. The leper was completely healed. No scales, no wounds, and no sores. Even the disfigurement caused by the leprosy would be reversed. This is the power of Christ. He is Lord. He is God. Christ was willing. This shows us the sovereignty of Christ. If he wills it, he has the power to accomplish it immediately. Jesus was willing to cleanse the leper. All the love of Christ towards unclean sinners. Jesus here displays the merciful heart of God towards sinful men in a broken world. Is this not an invitation for all to come to him? The leper came as he was, knowing that Jesus could heal him. Come to Christ, bowing at his feet, knowing that he's able to forgive all your sins and transform you. And be sure that if you come to Christ believing in him, he will not turn you away. Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 37, all that the Father gives me will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. Just as Jesus touched the leper, dear Christians, Christ Jesus touches our hearts. He touched our hearts. Your sins may have nailed Christ to the cross, but your sins could not defile him. And you were made clean by the power of his blood. You who come to Christ in genuine repentance and faith, know that your heart will rejoice as it hears Jesus say, I am willing, be cleansed. Now hear this as we move on in our text. Being cleansed, being forgiven is not the end. After cleansing the leper, Jesus gives a command. In verse 43, he says, and he, that is Jesus, strictly warned him and sent him away at once. This would be the former leper's true test of faith. The true test of faith comes in obedience to Christ. Notice how Christ spoke to the former leper. It says here, he strictly warned him. This was a stern word, an angry warning. He admonished the man, saying to him, verse 44, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Friends, faith in Christ demands servitude. This is the test. Are we obedient to his word? Jesus strictly warned the leper to keep the law of God, to do what God required of him. This is what Christian living is. It is doing what God requires of us through his word, even if his word is too difficult. Consider the former leper. He had just been healed of leprosy. All he wanted to do was celebrate and let the world know what had happened to him. But Jesus gave him a hard command. Go at once. Travel 70 miles to Jerusalem and show yourself to the priest. But not only that, offer up the offering that is required of you. Remember, he was a leper, shunned by society. He had no belongings, he had no money, yet Jesus commanded him to give the offering that God required of him. There is a cost in following Christ. Yes, in Christ we receive great riches in heaven and much more than we can imagine or ask for. But there is a great cost to following Jesus in this fallen world. Have you counted the cost? Are you obeying Christ Jesus? Now, verse 45 begins with a however. The former leper did not heed Christ's command. It reads, verse 45, however, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every direction. The former leper's disobedience created an obstacle to Christ's ministry. We may be thinking, why was it so bad for the leper to proclaim about Jesus? Isn't it good to proclaim about what Jesus has done? You see, the problem was in what was being proclaimed about Jesus. The leper would have advertised Jesus' power to heal. So people would have been drawn to a healing Messiah. They would be more interested in the signs and wonders of Christ than the salvation into the kingdom of God. If you go back to verse 38, which we read earlier, it says, "But he said to them," Jesus said to them, "let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth." Christ's purpose, the reason he came, was to preach in the towns and cities. But this leper's disobedience put an obstacle there. You see, this was Christ's purpose, to preach, to make the kingdom of God known. Miracles were certainly important to Christ's ministry in proving and displaying who he is. But his purpose was to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God. You can reference this to verse 14 of this chapter. With the man's disobedience, he put an obstacle in the way of Christ's preaching ministry. You see, this is the importance of knowing and doing what God requires of us through his word. We must study our Bibles. The actions of Christians are instrumental in the expansion of God's kingdom even today. The gospel must always be our priority, to make Christ known, to proclaim him as Lord and Savior, making disciples of many. This is our commission. And being obedient in all areas of life, and that includes church life. It is fundamental in our proclamation of the gospel. Our own personal obedience to Christ is testimony to the world that Jesus is truly Lord. Jesus told the former leper to go to the priest as a testimony to them, that they would see who Jesus is. Our lives are to be a testimony to the unsaved world of who Christ is and what he has done for us. Did you know that Christians themselves are one of the biggest obstacles in the building of Christ's church? When we neglect to study God's word through the guidance of the Holy Spirit and to obey him, we are prone to do things our own ways, bringing glory to ourselves, robbing it from God, and bringing shame to the name of Christ. We must consider our ways and take care to listen to our Lord's admonitions through his word. We must do this for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, to come to a close, I shall make one more observation to encourage us in our Christian walk. Yes, we are weak. We fail. We are disobedient, prone to wander and sin, unable to let go of self and pride. But remember this, Christ Jesus came to take our place, so that in him we may live. Before this leper came to Jesus, the leper could not enter the city. He had to stay outside in deserted places. But after he met with Christ, the leper was cleansed, and Jesus took the leper's place in the wilderness. Pay attention to verse 45 again. In the middle of the verse says, Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places. Jesus took the leper's place. The leper was now able to enter the city, whereas Christ took his place and was left outside. This is the work of Christ for the sake of his people. Christ, knowing that the leper would hinder his ministry and knowing that he would be taken outside the city into deserted places, Jesus still touched him. Jesus still touched the leper and cleansed him. This is a wonderful picture of the work of Christ in saving his people. Knowing our sinfulness, knowing that we would be prone to disobeying him, even while we were rejecting him, Christ died in our place. Like a sheep being taken to the slaughter, Jesus was silent as he carried his cross. Where did he carry his cross? Outside the city walls. And there on the cross, he suffered and died. Obedient to his Father, yet forsaken by his Father, on that cross outside the city walls, Jesus took our place. So that in him, we are brought into heaven's city. But not just through the gate, we are brought into the throne room of God. Jesus takes our place. So that we have a place before the throne of God. This is the heart of Christ towards sinners who are called by his name. He takes their place, he serves them, he loves them, he is their Lord. Is he your Lord? Cry out to the Lord who lives. If you are willing, you can make me clean. And let your heart hear Christ Jesus say, I am willing, be cleansed. Amen.